Did anybody take any photos over Thanksgiving? In our family, we have both the serious photo as well as the comedic, comic relief photo. But in addition to those two, there's all the retakes, right? Where you look at the digital camera or phone and make sure that everybody had their eyes on the right place and that, you know, kids' hands were where they should be and so forth. You know, we live in an age where we can take a lot of photos, and that means we like to get things picture perfect. Well, today we have a story in the Gospel of Luke of Zechariah where things are not picture perfect. And Zechariah actually has this really sort of dumb moment where the angel Gabriel is standing before him and says, "Your prayers have been answered." And he, as a priest, looks at the angel and says, "Well, how am I supposed to believe that? How will I know?" One of those things you say in life where as soon as it's out of your mouth, you wish you could just sort of take it back. But we should be a little bit more empathetic with Zechariah, especially as we consider what Zechariah has been through. And Luke, the writer, gives us some hints as to what's going on in Zechariah's head and Zechariah's heart. And the first thing is that Luke tells us that this story, which is also, again, the backdrop to Jesus' birth, takes place in the days of King Herod. And King Herod wasn't just a bad king. He was an evil, wicked, Game of Thrones king who actually kills his own family members and even babies to ensure that he has power. And even worse, Herod is a puppet of the Roman Empire. This large, pagan, sprawling empire of military might. And so the prophet Isaiah, which we heard today, would have been read by Zechariah in the temple. So there Zechariah is in the temple, and he's reading about a day when Jerusalem will be exalted, and all the nations will stream to learn the wisdom of the law of God. And then they'll go out, and they'll be agents of God's peace in this world. And it would be easy to see why Zechariah would have sort of maybe given up some of the hope, some of the faith, when he looked out and he saw that Herod was king and a puppet king of Rome. In other words, it wasn't picture perfect for his nation or for his people. But more personally, he was struggling that he and his wife had not had a child. And it's evident that they wanted it because, well, Elizabeth says at the end after they have a child, "You have taken away my disgrace." And the angel Gabriel says, "Your prayers have been answered." This was a prayer petition that Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for years. And even though they were, Luke tells us, righteous, one of the highest and best words the Bible can offer, they still had no children. And I think in life, when we really want something, and we pray for it, and not just sort of like, "Oh, I want, you know, three unicorns and a rainbow," but like when we pray for something in our family, for children, for grandchildren, that our children would have faith, that somebody would be healed of a disease, that an addiction would finally be overcome, and there'd be reconciliation in a friendship. But when this doesn't happen, we often get really discouraged. And in fact, we might even lose faith. Or if we do maintain the faith, we sort of might say, "Well, we know that God acted a long time ago, but not in my life." So we should have empathy when Zechariah says, "Well, how am I going to know?" Because for Zechariah, he hadn't seen a lot of evidence. Zechariah is a person whose life at this moment isn't sort of picture perfect, yet God chooses to act. And again in the Bible, we find that God acts before we have our act together. Again, in the lives of people in the Bible, God acts before we have our life together. And even though Zechariah's response is one of great disbelief and demonstrating a lack of faith, God still chooses to work through him. And it's actually kind of funny because, you know, he's silent then for the whole pregnancy of his wife. And so this makes us wonder what his wife was praying for. But just because Zechariah doesn't have his act together, just because Zechariah's life isn't picture perfect, doesn't mean that God doesn't choose to act. I think in our lives, as we approach Christmas, we can often have a lot of pressure and expectation to have our lives together. You know, it's like the under 362 days of the year our family can fight, but these holidays, you know, we want us to sort of pretend like we're a happy family, we all get along. We want the stockings to be hung by the chimney with care, and we want the pictures on the Christmas cards to look good. Nobody ever has a Christmas card that says the peace, love, and joy of Christmas, you know, with the picture of their kids whining, right? We want it to look right. And I think underneath it, there's this sense that if we don't get it right, that maybe Christmas or the Christmas magic won't happen, or even worse, the God somehow won't be with our family. And I want you to hear the story here that God acts even when we don't have our act together. And this Advent, we're called to dwell in these stories of Jesus's birth, of Jesus's coming, or in the Latin, Advent, to come. We're called to dwell in these stories that we might be reminded again and again that God chooses to act before people have their acts together. And we might then see that in our life. But there's another beautiful part of this. And that is that God just doesn't act, but God calls us to be actors, to be participants. We're not the only one writing our story, but God also writes our story, and God sort of interjects into our life. And God calls Zechariah to a task, and his task is to now be in prayer and to be listening. And maybe for you in these next couple weeks, that's your task. I believe that each one of you, not just Zechariah, but each one of you has a purpose in your life. God has acted in your life, even though you don't have your act together. And God has a purpose for you, something that God wants you to do. And again, maybe it's like Zechariah, to be in prayer for somebody. Or maybe it's like Elizabeth, to bring something new and creative into the world as she bears a child. Or maybe it's like John the Baptist, the child who will be born, who ends up speaking a prophetic word, speaking truth to power. Maybe you're called to speak truth to power in a new way. I don't know what your purpose is exactly, but I do know that God has invited each one of us into his story of redeeming and saving this world. And not because we have our acts together, but because God chooses, out of love for us and for the world, to bring us into the story. But it brings up the question of how am I to know what God is doing, right? This world seems chaotic. It doesn't seem like a picture-perfect place. My life doesn't always make sense. And so like Zechariah, I think we can find ourselves saying, how will I know? Well, in the story, Zechariah's got to figure this out, and so do we. This Advent, there's been somebody in the last couple of months who's been coming to the church and asking for money, and we often get this at a church, but this one particular individual, I've been sort of drawn in, and I'm learning his story and seeing the situation he's in. It's a process of many years of decisions by him and others, and he's sort of in this system that kind of traps him, And I don't know what God has in mind for me and for this person. I don't know why they've been put in my life or how I'm to help them, how I am to bless or to be blessed by them, what they're to teach me. And so as I pray this Advent, I'm going to be praying over that. One of the gifts of Advent that the church over time has developed is the Advent wreath. This simple lighting each week of a candle to proclaim that the light of the world in Jesus Christ is coming. And we're invited to do something totally countercultural and to take a deep breath once a day, to take a breath and to pray and to read part of the story of the people preparing for Jesus' coming. And as we reflect on that story and as we just reflect on our day, to discern what God has for us. In this season of hyperactivity and schedules, we're called to take a break from the busyness, from the messiness, from the overwhelming just joy and fullness of every day, and to reflect and to ask ourselves, what is God doing and where is God in my life? What is my purpose? God acts in Zechariah's life not because Zechariah is perfect. Indeed, God shows up even when Zechariah is messing up. And in our lives, we don't have to wait for our act to be together for God to act in our life. But God is acting now in your life. And God has a purpose and a plan for you this Advent. And you're invited then to immerse yourself in the story, in the songs, in the candles, and to reflect and discern how God has acted and God is calling you to act. Amen.